Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we focus on mission and upon your great command to go and make disciples of all nations, that you would direct us and bless us and not just hear the word, but also with the help of your Holy Spirit, go and do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the season of Epiphany, which is what we're in, is the season of mission. Of course, every season is a season for mission. Every season is a season to let the light shine. It's a pretty dark world, isn't it? And we're talking about metaphorical darkness here. Although it does seem a bit dark in the mornings, doesn't it, present? Every season is a season to point to Jesus, like John the Baptist, the great evangelist John the Baptist, and to say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he did it a few times in the text this morning, didn't he? And then his mates caught on and they went to pass on the message as well. As St. Paul says, preach the message in season and out of season. Every season, every day, every hour is a time for mission. You don't say, oh, well, we do mission in spring. No, we don't. We do mission all the time. Every day is a day for mission. We don't say, oh, tomorrow afternoon we're going to do some mission. No, we don't. We do mission today. If we go into the supermarket, we're conscious that we are missionaries at the supermarket. When we go to work, we're conscious that we're not just workers, but we are missionaries. We're people who've been entrusted with a message to share with other people. St. Paul said, every day, or today is the day to be saved. Not tomorrow, today is the day to be saved. But he also said, how can people believe if they don't hear, if no one tells them the word today? He didn't say today, but I'm saying it today. If they're going to believe today, somebody's got to tell them today. So they can believe and be saved today, not tomorrow. We know that tomorrow never comes, so it's got to be today. It's not putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Because mission is so important, as I said, I'm going to preach on it for 3 weeks, but they will be different sermons each week. This week will be on the Great Commission, really. Next week will be on the suffering that comes from getting involved in mission. And the third week, which is the big Sunday we've got here, just the one service at 9:30. Did you hear all that? One service at 9:30 with the teachers here being installed. I'll focus on the joy of mission. I want to tell you, this is how mission is. When Dad went away from the farm for a few days down at Culburra in the southeast, the last thing he did before he went away was he gave me some instructions on what to do while he was away. Okay, some of you others surely can identify with that. And they were things like this: feed the sheep, check the water troughs, make sure the windmills are working, you know, that sort of stuff. And when he returned, guess what? He would say, David, did you feed the sheep? You know, that sort of thing. Well, that's how mission basically is. The last thing Jesus does before leaving this earth is he tells us what to do. And we call that the Great Commission. The Great Commission. It's not a little whimper. It's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, etc., and teach them to do all that I've commanded you. That's fairly clear, I think. If somebody asks you, well, what's your job as a Christian or what's the job of the church? We shouldn't hesitate. It's Matthew 28, verse 19. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's clear, isn't it? Is that clear to you? It's clear to me. It was clear to me when I got that soul winner book in 1996. This is the chief business. In fact, one of the first lines says the chief business is to share the gospel. Jesus says it again in different words as he's leaving. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Yep, starting where you are, but right to the ends of the earth. And Jesus says at the beginning of the Gospels that he's been sent to seek and to save the lost, and that's what he does through his ministry. But at the end of it, he says, as the Father sent me, that means he sent me to seek and to save lost. And then he says, as the Father said, so I'm sending you, right? So I'm sending you to do the same as I, except you can't die on the cross for people's sins and you can't be raised from the dead to give eternal life. But pretty much everything else you're called to do. And he says in another gospel, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached to all the nations. And another gospel, he says, is always at the end of the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. So, and at the end of his ministry, Jesus said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. And then he turns to his followers really and says these things, go and do these same things that I've been doing. Your job is to bring the good news of great joy to all people. A Saviour has been born to you. This is the good news, really. A Saviour has died for your sins. A Saviour has been raised from the dead to give you eternal life. And a Saviour has gone to prepare an eternal home for you. That's very good news, isn't it? I mean, I've just led a funeral at Murray Bridge on Friday. That's pretty good news, I reckon, to tell the grieving husband, Bruce Cookall, whom some of you probably know, the grieving husband, your wife's in heaven. Well, she's going to be in heaven. I don't quite know the time frame of that. But she's been saved through Jesus. And she knew that. She knew that. It's so good that Jesus wants everyone to know it. Your children. Your children. Good to have the children here today. Your children want to know that. Your relatives. Anybody got any relatives who aren't Christians? Come on. Well, nearly all of you. Nearly all of you. Well, they need to know. Your neighbours. Anyone got any non-Christian neighbours? Right. The community of Mount... Anybody in Mount Barker who's not a Christian? Or even in Harndorf, for that matter? But we'll stick to Mount Barker. It's your job in Harndorf. Yeah. The people of Hermannsburg. Did you see that program on Monday night? Wasn't it just the most beautiful program you've ever seen? The people of Hope Vale in Queensland, where the missionaries went. The people of Syria. The people of Iraq. The people of Somalia. The people of Sudan. They all need to hear. They want to hear. And when they hear it, they think, that is the best good news that I've ever heard. Why didn't anyone tell us sooner? It's not optional, this business of telling them. Jesus didn't say, if you get around to it or feel like it, or you're not too tired to get and do it. Jesus didn't say, do it after you've finished your job or after you finish watching the cricket. Is that getting a bit close to home? No. Or after you've taken your holidays. I read in the paper the other day, somebody said, now that you're retired, what are you going to do? Oh, go on holidays. Pathetic. And that is so pathetic. Going to spend the rest of my life on holidays. That's hopefully not a Christian person talking. The Great Commission is the last commandment that Jesus gave to people before he left this earth. But he said something really important before he said it. I wonder if you know. You don't have to tell me in case you get it wrong. But can you think, what did Jesus say just before he gave this Great Commission? Emma, I hope you know it. But you don't say it though. Yeah. He said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Wow. I have all authority and I'm giving you this commandment to go and make disciples. That's said nowhere else. Only in front of the great, as if the Great Commission wasn't great enough already. He pops that in front, all authority. Well, that doesn't leave many escape clauses, does it? There are two big commandments in the Bible. The other one is love God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. And that's so important. But then out of that later flows this other one, which Jesus says is so big, because if people don't carry the Great Commission, no one will even know that God loves them or cares for them. As somebody has said, we'll go till Jesus comes. That's a good little slogan for your life, don't you think? We'll go, or I'll go till Jesus comes. I'll go in this work that he's given me to do till he comes again. We may not like the idea of obeying Jesus' commandment to go. We might think it sounds too much like law, and probably it does, if you're not in love with Jesus. It all begins with the love of God the Father for Jesus and for us. When that love is flowing into our hearts, then everything we begin to do is not just because we're told to do it, but it's out of love for God, who first loved us. You know what that what Jesus says? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You know, when you know that I love you and you start to love, spread that love back to me and to other people, then you'll do what I tell you to do, and you'll do it really happily. You don't have to have 10 rules on the fridge about it, because you need just one. God loves me and I love God. And then it starts to flow. When we experience the passionate love Jesus has for us on the cross, it fills us with a passion to share the good news of Jesus with others. St. Paul says, I would rather be cursed myself than see my people cursed or not saved. St. Peter, who was under threat from his enemies, said to them, stood up to them, and he said, we can't stop speaking about Jesus. You're not going to stop us speaking about Jesus, because he's the only way to be saved. If we don't tell you about Jesus, you're going to hell. That's putting it in more common words. Yep. That's why we're going to tell you about Jesus. Even if you kill us, we'll tell you it with our last breath, as Jesus did on the cross. There's an urgency about mission. People have a passion about mission. One man said to a pastor, and I think this man was a prisoner speaking to a prison chaplain, he said, if I believed your gospel, this message you're bringing to me in prison, I'd crawl all over England on broken glass to tell people about it. Do we have that passion? Do we see that passion to share the gospel in our parish? Do we see that passion amongst our pastors, Emma? That passion to share the gospel with people? Do that? We see that passion in our own homes or in our schools? William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was a passionate man, and he said these words on one occasion, while women weep as they do now, I'll fight. Now, fight doesn't mean take up a gun or anything. It means I'm going to fight for them. While little children go hungry, I'll fight. While men go to prison, in and out, as our juveniles are these days, I'll fight. While there's a drunkard left, while there's a poor lost girl on the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end. That's passion. Where is the passion that Pastor Greg talked about, Fleurl, last week, the missionary? Where's the passion that took men like Fleurl to New Guinea? Where's the passion that took men like Nommensen to Indonesia, to the headhunters in Indonesia? Where's the passion that took Jim Elliot to Ecuador, only to be murdered by the people he went to tell the gospel? But they all got converted in the end, mainly by his wife going there to follow it up. Where's the passion that took, didn't take Brother Yun to China, he is Chinese. Where is the passion that took him in and out of prison, witnessing? And do you know where it all started for Brother Yun? It started from a little Norwegian missionary, probably a Lutheran, who probably wasn't even welcome in her own church, going to China to share the gospel with people, perhaps 50 years or more before Brother Jordan even was born. Amazing stuff. Where's the passion today that took Jackie Pullinger to Hong Kong? You read Jackie Pullinger, Chasing the Dragon? No? Well, that's a pity. That's a pity. This woman full of passion to bring the gospel to the people, the drug addicts of Hong Kong. And she's still there. And she's 70 or more. Will we pray for that passion to fuel us for mission to those who still live without Jesus? To those who still live in darkness? To those who are without hope? It's always risky business. It's always risky business. And we're going to talk a lot more about that next week. But it's risky business. Talking to grown-up children who no longer follow Jesus. Talking to neighbours. You know, many missionaries in many countries around the world today are paying for their witness with their blood. Many, many are doing it. And I'll tell you some of those stories next week. And yet mission continues to happen. And the more the blood flows, the more it happens usually. Because people know that without Jesus, these people will never be saved. Never be saved. And I want to bring that good news to them. Luther said, now you better listen. This is what Luther said. We live on earth only so that we should be of help to other people. Otherwise, it would be best, it's getting a bit rough from now on, otherwise it would be best if God would strangle us and let us die as soon as we are baptized and begun to believe. Can you imagine that? Pastor baptizes somebody and we're all happy and then we strangle the child to make sure they don't stray off the path. Well, that's what Luther's saying. But he says, for this reason, we don't do that because God lets us live that we may bring other people to faith as he has done for us. That's what you're here for, okay? That's what you're here for, to bring faith to others as God has brought faith to us. So let us pray. Lord, help us in this whole business, this tricky business, this challenging business, this business that often we feel frightened of, but this business that thankfully we've had parents or grandparents or friends or somebody who's brought us to faith in Jesus. So help us to get involved in this business, to take more courage. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us so that nothing will hold us back from sharing the good news with other people. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.